Anita and I, and at that point it was just Lauren also in the family. We were living in Chicago, Illinois, and was finishing up an MDiv degree and starting to look at the future. And we started sensing that God might be calling us into church planting. And so after some conversations with the denomination, they decided to send us to what they lovingly call the Assessment Center. And so we were, as I mentioned, living in Chicago, and we were getting ready to fly to Sacramento in February of 2003 to go and be assessed. And so we left our little apartment with suitcases in hand very early in the morning to make it down to the L station so that we could catch a train to O'Hare and fly out. And that morning we prayed, probably very similar to a prayer we pray frequently. Dear God, please be with us today and all that we're doing. Just thank you for this day. Commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And think about it for a second. There's a weirdness to that prayer. I mean, we do it every day, and it's a little weird. Dear, all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, everywhere in the universe, God, please be with us. Dear God, who promised to never leave us or forsake us, to be with us in every single situation, please be with us. I mean, it's not a bad prayer. It's just a kind of a weird prayer. We pray things like this. You probably pray weird things too. Anyways, so we're coming down, and we're in the train station getting ready to get on the L, and we get to the vending machine and realize we don't have any money. We didn't bring any cash at all. It's early in the morning. What do we do? So as we're standing there and there's nobody else around, from one of the vending machines we hear, and a $5 bill comes right out of the vending machine. So, what we did, we just took the $5 bill from the machine and then put it back in, seriously, and tickets drop out the bottom. And we get on the train and we go off and make our plane and we go to Seston here we are, 8 years later. And it's kind of amazing how in even the smallest details of life, it's like God just shows up. We were kind of saying, God, please be with us today. And he's like, well, do you want a sign? I don't have any explanation for that. I mean, maybe somebody can come up with something that describes why what happened to us that day happened. But that's a pretty good coincidence, don't you think? Or maybe like the story that, if you've ever read the book Heaven Is For Real, it's one of the best sellers out there. There's a story where the author Todd Burpo, his son Colton, pictured in the bottom right hand corner, he was about at that time 3 years old, and they'd taken him into the hospital with a ruptured appendix. It had been ruptured at this point for 4 days. All the doctors, for all of their tests, had missed it. He's going into emergency surgery, and he knows, I mean, they haven't given him a lot of hope. There's a pretty good chance your son could die. And he tells in the book how he's in the chapel in the hospital, and the door is closed, there's nobody else in the room, and he just lets God have it. See, Todd's a pastor, and he knows that, pastors, you can't lose your cool in public. It's just, you don't get, I mean, because you're always kind of being watched. But he just gets in that chapel, and he just starts just railing against God. God, why do you treat your people like this? I mean, this has already been at the end of a year where they've had financial hardships. He's been serving this little church that pays him just beans, and I mean, just all sorts of health problems, all sorts of debt, all sorts of problems. God, why do you treat your kids like this? And as it turns out, that prayer was answered. And Colton was not only fine, but a few months later, when he's 4 years old, he starts telling of a vision that he had while he was in surgery. And Colton, it's recorded in this book, Colton was able to tell his dad exactly where he was in the hospital, exactly where he was in the room, exactly what he was doing, exactly where his mother was. He said, I saw you, Mommy, talking on the phone. And he has a kind of a vision of heaven. It's a little unusual, but it's worth reading about. And he said, Daddy, when you were praying in that chapel, I saw Jesus come to answer your prayer. Now, I don't have an explanation for that. I don't know how four-year-old kids are able to see all around the building without, I don't know. And we hear, when we talk about prayer, we hear these dramatic stories of prayer, whether God's showing up in like kind of this, I mean, ultimately, a train ticket. That's kind of trivial. Or really dramatic, like a child who could be dead and made it through. And yet for every story of God showing up in this really dramatic way, there seems to be the counter story of somebody else talking about how another parent that prayed as hard as they could and their child didn't make it through surgery. Don't you think they prayed too? The couple that's saying, please God, we just need you to provide for us financially. We are trusting you. And yet for them, it just gets worse. Isn't that kind of strange how prayer happens? At times you just feel like you see these glimpses of heaven, and other times it feels to us like heaven is shut. It feels to us like God is silent. We're in a series called What About? And we're kind of looking at some of the tough questions that people ask about Christian faith. Today we want to look at the honest question. Does prayer make any difference? Next week we're going to be looking at the question of doubt. And what about doubt? What do I do with doubt? If you're like me, you've spent a lot of time with people, and there's been maybe even moments in your own life and in your own heart when if you're just really honest, you say, I mean, is there any point in praying? Sometimes prayers are answered, sometimes they're not. It just feels so unpredictable. And if prayer is unpredictable, sometimes from our perspective, it feels like God is unreliable. If I don't know how my prayers are going to be answered, why bother? I mean, or sometimes, and this is so weird, you know, we try to figure out like concrete explanations for this stuff. Like maybe they didn't pray right. Maybe the person who prayed and asked God for a miracle and it didn't happen, maybe they didn't pray right. But think about it. That's kind of funny, isn't it? Like, you know, Thompson family, you know, we pray this really, you know, kind of, you know, rote prayer. It's not even particularly great theology if you really think about it. And yet God shows up. You know, here's money out of a vending machine. Maybe if you want God to answer your prayer, you need to pray more casually and with worse theology. Or maybe because your kid doesn't get better, does that mean you haven't told God off just right? You haven't shook your head, your fist at heaven with the right way, or maybe said words that they didn't print in the book? Should you have done more of that? Is it a matter of missing a formula? Sometimes in Christian theology, and even today, there's going to be people that will tell you that if you pray in a certain way, if you just get all the pieces right, you can make God do what you want. You can name it, and you can claim it, you can blab it, and you can grab it, and you can twist God's arm to do whatever you want. If you just have enough faith, if you just pray right, and I am not at all convinced that that's true. I want to today look at a passage that kind of takes us into the heart of prayer, and then experience a little bit of that ourselves. With your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll be starting with verse 7. Jesus said this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will," what's the word? "Find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Well, that sounds really good. God promises to listen to the prayers of his children. He promises to answer them somehow. He promises that when you knock on the door of heaven, that door will be opened to you. That when you seek God, you will find me. Even as Jeremiah said, "You will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will lead you out of captivity." Then continues on, verse 9, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Which of you, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? I mean, your kid is hungry. What's for dinner? I'd like the fish sticks, please. And you said, well, I have a cobra. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. It's just, you wouldn't do that. And if you then, though you are evil, all you need to do is watch 5 minutes of the evening news to know, yeah, humankind is, we got problems. If you then know, though you're evil, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It seems the heart of prayer is all about a relationship. If you want to know how to pray, don't worry so much about particular formulas. Don't worry so much about particular words. Just, if you want a good model for prayer, just watch a kid that's got a good relationship with their dad or their mom. Watch how the child goes to their parent and just ask them for things. And sometimes mom or dad, they say yes, and sometimes they say no, but they always love that child. Jesus says prayers like that. In fact, the most radical words that Jesus said were the first two words that we pray every week in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, God's your dad. God's your dad in heaven. And you can talk to him. So as we look at the question, does prayer make any difference? It's one thing to talk about it, one thing for me to say yes, it is. It doesn't make, we don't always know how. It's another thing to do it. So while I was preparing this week and I was just laying this message out before the Lord, I really felt like God was saying, you know, go ahead and talk about prayer, but don't forget to give people a chance to do it. So I'm going to give you a chance. The one gift I can give you today is a little bit of time and a little bit of space. And so I actually put together an insert for you and encourage you to take that out if you would. And I would strongly, strongly stress that this is not a formula. There is no formula for prayer. There are some questions, I think, that can help us to remember to pray and help open up different areas of prayer. 4 questions. Who I am. Yeah, if you need an insert, just maybe pop your hand up and a very attractive young lady will hand one to you. There we go. The question, who I am. You know, just to tell God how you're feeling right now. I mean, this might be a good time for confession. God, I recognize that I'm a sinner. God, I recognize that I've made mistakes. God, I recognize that I'm broken. It also might be just simply a time to tell God where you are. God, today I'm angry. God, today I'm tired. God, today I'm feeling depressed. God, today I'm feeling worn out. God, today I'm pretty happy. God, today it's been a good, just tell God where you are. Or second question, who you are, God. Just to remember before God some of the things that you know to be true about him. God, I remember that you love me. God, I remember that you're good. God, I remember that you're here even when I can't feel you. God, I remember that you listen even when I don't feel like you're listening to me. 3rd category of people or issues that are on your mind. Just maybe write it down, or maybe this is just a guide for lifting some of those things up to God. Now, in the 4th area, I do hope, if nothing else, you would write down as we have just a few minutes of silent prayer together. What I'm sensing, God, you might be communicating to me. Maybe that's a feeling. God, I'm just sensing your comfort today. Maybe that's a reminder. God, I'm being reminded of your love today. God, I'm being reminded that you have a good plan for my life today. God, whatever it is. Or maybe it's a word that feels like a word of instruction. God, you're challenging me to have this conversation. God, you're challenging me to forgive this person. God, just to spend some time and just write that down. So what I'd like to do for the next few minutes, and if you need to turn your chair, you know, so that you're not facing anybody or whatever, or if you'd like to pray with somebody, members of our prayer team are in the back. And so if you need to move around a little bit, just do whatever you need to do. But it would be kind of goofy to ask the question, does prayer make any difference? Well, let's try it. How long has it been? since you had just a silent moment and a little heart-to-heart time with God. Now, I recognize some of you, you're probably not going to want to do this. I mean, there's some of you, you're not going to do just basically because I asked you to, and so you're not, you don't do it any other week, so why start now? You know, in which case, you know, it's okay. If you need to count ceiling tiles, that's all right. You can count ceiling tiles before the Lord. If you need to make your grocery list, that's okay. You can write that down. You can make your grocery list before the Lord. Or maybe, just maybe, you could make this an opportunity and say, okay, God, does prayer make any difference? Let's find out. So, for the next few minutes, not too long, just take some time, just you and God, writing some thoughts down. And I'm not going to make you share this with anybody, but what I will challenge you to do is when we're done, is to maybe fold that up, put it in your pocket, put it in your Bible, put it in your purse, your wallet, somewhere. And then a few weeks from now, look back on what you wrote and just see how God has answered those things and see how your Heavenly Father has responded to your prayer. So let's do that. Thank you.